unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Welcome to Unwarranted Music Opinions, a show in which three music fans all choose an album, we force each other to listen to them intently, and we return at the end of a week to talk about them. I'm okay. Jacob Lindberg. Brian, don't interrupt me. Who are you?
I'm Brian. I'm Brian.
And who are you?
I'm Chaz Jenkins.
And we have chosen three albums unthemed, and I believe the one we are going to start with is Brian's.
Yeah, this is Tierra Wax, Wack World. This is her debut, kind of a hybrid of an EP and an album, in my opinion. It's like 15 minutes long, 15 tracks. Each track is a minute, exactly. This came out last year. I came onto it very, very late. Like, basically, I only heard it this year, because a lot of publications were putting it in, like, their top 10 spots, so I was very curious about it. And yeah, it's a really cool hip-hop project. Pretty unique, pretty quirky. And I just thought I'd introduce... I don't know, I thought it was a good regular pick, because I don't think either of you had ever even... sniff this.
No, I had never heard of this.
Yeah, and I only heard of it through other publications kind of starting to put it out, like in very, very high spots. So I was like, okay, sure. I want to check it out. And I'm glad I did. And I'm more curious to hear what you guys think about this one.
So I think we should start with just the biggest thing here is that it's really short. And as I was listening to it on YouTube and on Spotify...
Oh, did you watch the music video?
I did.
Yeah, dude, I totally forgot to tell you guys about that. I wish I told you about it. The music video makes it more endearing, I think.
The music video was phenomenal.
It's really cool.
But a lot of the comments were like, I love all of this, these beats and work. I wish all these songs were longer. But some were like, I'm kind of glad they're short. I'm kind of split. I'm kind of in the same vein as that. I love that they're all short and consistent and it all is with a purpose. But some of these beat works are amazing. Some of like the most beautiful melodic beats I've ever heard on a project. I want them to keep going on, but they all just keep ending. They always end when I'm like getting into them, like I'm really like vibing with them, and then it goes to the next track, and then I have to like start all over again with the next beat. Each song has an amazing beat, but it's kind of frustrating how much I love the song, each of the songs, but it's just so cut off before I can even really like understand it. Does that make sense? I don't know. I think that's the biggest problem with it.
I think I get where you're coming from, but I actually think that the shortness works to this album's advantage. I think because it's 15 minutes long, 15 tracks, all of them are 1 minute, it's very clearly designed to be taken in as a whole. Because of its length, you could probably just listen to it again, three times in a row, and you haven't even hit the hour mark yet. This is definitely something that's been designed as a holistic listen, and I think for that, these songs actually are very distinct. Every time I listened to it, I would remember the melodies. Mm-hmm. They aren't there very long, but they do make lasting impressions. It's kind of reminding me of maybe like a Guided by Voices album, where there's like 20 plus tracks on a 30-something minute album. A couple of them are 30 seconds long, but the more you listen to the album, the more you realize like, man, this is only around for a short time, but it's super catchy and memorable.
Oh, yeah.
And it has, every track has these moments or lyrical moments, or something that she does vocally that stick out in my head, that I remember every time I hear it. I'm coming back to it, I'm like, oh, that moment.
And it's so obvious that all of this was done with intent and purpose, that it was all like, I'm going to make this record be 15 minutes, and I want to make sure that each track is 1 minute, leads right into the next. No song sounds the same. Each track leading to another one, like, oh, this, I remember this part, it's like really catchy song. Some of my favorite songs are F Off, Silly Sam, Flea Market's really good. I think Pet Sematary is my favorite.
Those
little pianos, and it's just a song about our dog. Like,
and the dog sound effect. Yeah.
All dogs go to heaven. Like, I love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, Pet Sematary is definitely one of my favorite. I love her vocals. Her very, very emphatic. There's a lot of personality. I love the dog sound effects on that track.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. But, it's kind of bittersweet and sad, too.
There's some very, like... dark moments on this album, especially.
I wouldn't call them very dark. There's some
that moment
sad...
in Bug's Life is pretty freaky, especially like, with the music video, with her face being the way it is in the music
video. Yeah,
that really adds to like the way her vocals are in that particular track.
I struggle with that track because the vocals are so quiet. They're so quiet. It's hard for me to hear them. Like, it kind of hurts the track
Mm-hmm. I do think that when the beat drops in that track, though, on Bug's Life, it's the moment where the album, I feel like, really starts taking off.
The
and I'm
first
like,
track's
oh, okay,
like a good introduction.
Go.
Like, it you is. Know, like,
I cannot get over how beautiful and melodic a lot of these beats are. I would love to know who
I think
who did
the
beat work on this album.
Right before Pets, I adore Hungry Hippo so much. I think that's the
that's a great song.
My pearls. I love that bit.
I designed.
It's awesome. I, like
the
there's
chorus
so much
is super catchy.
Mm-hmm, there's so much swagger on that song, and a lot of songs here too. My favorite like part of the album is probably Pretty Ugly and A Sore Loser. I love the the like the super don't worry about me, I'm doing good, like the really
I'm doing
like
good, yeah I'm doing great all
right. Oh, it's like yes. Super quirky, like really like
F-Off is a wonderful song, just talking about her crabby like ex, just
and then the country accent verse.
I love it. I love it so
holy
much.
Crap,
I love
hilarious.
The transition from my I wanted to ask you guys about your favorite transitions, but my favorite transition is from Into Sore Loser from the track I'm Don't Worry About Me. I love and then right in the next like these like really weird like
yeah it's dark
like,
and psychedelic
in the music video she's like wheeled up in a coffin. I love the vocal delivery on that track. It's like this cool calm. It's like I love what she's saying on the track.
I
with
think for
the,
me it's the ending of the album from Sore Loser into Dr. Seuss into Ways.
I think the album ending is kind of weak. I think it ends pretty weak, to
it's,
be honest.
It's one of the weaker moments on the album, but I do
but
think
I
that
like the
it flows well.
Into each
yeah.
song. I
yeah, sonically, really... sonically, there's like maybe one or two awkward transitions towards the front half of the album.
If we're talking sonically, though, there's not one moment on the sound where I'm like, I did not like that. Every musical thing done, I thought was just
a little bit with Fruit Salad for me. I think it's actually,
I think
it's like, I think it's a little cluttered. You know, Mario and Luigi, and then like as all that comes, it's a lot. Like, and I never really.
I thought the production on that track was actually really, really catchy, and
it evens
and
out.
I just found myself vibing with each track, but again, my biggest problem is that like by the time I'm like really into it, it just cuts off to the next one. And I get that that was done with purpose, but I'd love to see a lot of these musical compositions expanded upon. I would love to hear like more to it.
See, I think that would damage the album. I think she doesn't. I don't.
Like on a separate project. I don't know.
Like, we're getting lots of small doses of unique instrumentals, really memorable kind of hooks, or at least lyrical moments off of each track. Like, even, you know, like the A, B, C, and like All oh, Boys Cry.
MTV.
Like, I can't say that one. But, you know, I think there's something memorable about every track. It's just that I think if you extend them out longer, like, I don't think there's enough narrative here to kind of keep everything going, and maybe she was conscious of that.
Yeah, I guess your best bet is to just listen to this whole thing like it's one big song.
Right,
honestly.
Because
yeah,
it kind of, and the thing that's really impressive about that is it's super short, it flows really well, but it's not like these tracks are indistinct.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of lyrical and sonic differences going on between each song, and, you know, there's only a couple moments on here where I feel like they're not fully fleshed out. For only being a minute long, she's actually very able to make these songs sound complete, finished, fully written.
Mm-hmm.
She gets everything that she wants to say said, and when it's done, she just moves on to the next thing. And it never feels really rushed or underwritten, except for maybe one or two tracks, but it's not that big of a deal. Overall, I think the quote-unquote gimmick of having a 15-minute album with 15 one-minute songs, something that's I know it's been done before, but I can't think of an example right off the top of my head.
I don't think it's been done in hip hop though.
I mean, it probably has.
I mean, not with the trap sound, maybe. Like,
in
it has been
in this style of music, it has not been done.
And if it has been, it's not getting the awareness that this album has. It's not drawing the attention.
It's probably never been done as well,
right?
With this musical context,
actually,
anyway.
Can we talk about just how I love Tierra Whack so much?
She's got a lot of
personality all over this album. It's
bubbly
great.
And cute, and just her flow and quirkiness is just. I love it. I love it so much. I already from the beginning, I was like, this woman's going places.
She's really, it's really cool. I'm a little worried for her next project just because, like, I don't know what she's going to do. Like, this is a pretty unique album in her discography, I'll say. Like, I don't know if we're going to get this. I don't know if this is the format going forward. I kind of doubt it is.
I feel like we're going to get, like, a big, like, full album next.
Well,
like, with fleshed out tracks and a theme tying them together.
I'm worried. I hope it holds up. I hope this isn't, like, a flash in the pan artist.
Well, if anything, this album proves that she isn't just. That she's thinking about what she's making.
Mm-hmm.
That she
has to say and talk about.
Creativity. So I would say that even if she moves away from this format, which honestly, I would be okay if she moved away from this format. You know, it's good to evolve artistically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this is a one-time sort of format, and if she did it again, it wouldn't have the same impact. But it definitely shows an awareness of albumizing how everything flows together, keeping it very thematically interesting. I think there's a lot of creativity here, and it could very well show itself, you know, no matter how she decides to proceed in her career.
I think that she definitely deserves more recognition, and she's already getting praise, but she definitely needs more. This is the type of music and style and artistry that needs to be in the spotlight, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely sets itself apart from other artists in the same style. I would say that I do love a good few tracks on this album. I don't love every single track. Overall, for me, it's just consistently very good, and there are only a few moments where it goes to that next level. Those moments, though, are pretty fantastic. I would say, for me, Hungry Hippo, Pet Sematary, Fuck Off, Silly Sam, those four tracks in a row,
yeah,
are just
that's
hit
a
strong, after hit after hit. It's
yeah,
a great
that's
moment
definitely
on the
like
album.
The most, you know, this album reminds me of, I think I made a comment in our Paul's Boutique where it's like that 9-minute ending track. It's like, why didn't these all just sound like separate songs? Why didn't they just release them as separate songs? So here comes Tierra Whack with this 15-minute album that should have just been one whole song. It's like the exact opposite of what I was. But even so, this is an amazing album that I'll definitely be getting a lot of singles off this. And I'll probably I might just get the whole album as one song.
Usually, right, it
just
only takes 15 minutes to listen to it.
It's pretty amazing, too.
I'll replay certain segments of this album, like, as a song, like you said, from Pet Sematary through Silly Sam, like, usually, or actually, really, Hungry Hippo through Silly Sam, like you said. I'll just play that sometimes, like, if I'll pick that section or kind of, and usually I just end up listening to the whole thing, because when I get to my favorite parts, it's, you know, the parts that I'm listening to that are leading into those segments of the album that I think stand out are still pretty good. There are a few downsides on here, like the vocals on Bug's Life are a little too quiet. The last song is like a little too minimal. Like it's like it really kind of feels like the whole minute. And it ends kind of weakly too. From Dr. Seuss and Into Ways, like not a maze. Like Dr. Seuss is pretty good, but Ways isn't. And is like just I don't know. It, like when the album ends, I'm like, oh, it's over.
Would you agree though that like.
But that could just be for the runtime. That could be.
If it's you can still enjoy the album without watching the music video, because I think the music video
I didn't
helps.
See the music video.
Yeah.
And okay.
And I definitely enjoyed it
a lot with what you were hearing visually.
Like I remember a lot of the visuals. A lot of the visuals stand out, like the for Silly Sam.
Especially Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary, she's just standing in a graveyard and
they have
like
these
dancing.
Dog puppets coming out and yeah. like singing the chorus with her.
It's really quirky. It's really enjoyable. For Sore Loser, they wheel her out in like a coffin. It's just a stagnant shot of from above her laying down, kind of looking left to right.
She's floating on the river. It's this really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like River Styx in it. My favorite is, I think, Silly Sam, which is where she's. Don't worry about whatever song is. Don't worry about me. I'm pretty sure it's Silly Sam, right? Am I tripping?
I think so. I'm doing good. I'm doing great. All right.
Hold on. Just fucking fact check. 1 sec. 100% not Silly Sam. It's pretty ugly.
I agree. Yep. It is.
Oh yeah, it is. Okay. It is. That's
so,
pretty ugly.
Because I wrote tons of personality in the vocals.
On Pretty Ugly, that's the best part of the music video, where she's like standing in like these funhouse mirrors, essentially. It's like one of them is just her mouth like lit up real big.
Oh yeah, she keeps going back and forth.
And like the way it plays, that bit plays out really funny too. She's just like head bobbing, making a really goofy face, and then we just fade to black and go into Sore Loser. The music video is a lot of fun. I don't think it adds a little to the album for me, but I wouldn't say a lot.
My first introduction, so like seeing the visuals with it and then just listening to the music on its own with that visuals already in my head really helped me kind of like get more into it, but I'm telling you, some of this music is
some of the bass
amazing.
Is like it just I love how like deep
visceral.
It is.
Oh, it's
yeah,
so
there's some really nice deep bass on here.
All right, I'm gonna go with a 7 out of 10 on this thing. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't quite like absolutely love it, but there are definitely a few tracks on here that I do. And overall, it was a super, super enjoyable album, and I'm definitely looking forward to whatever she puts out in the future.
I'm gonna give it this an 8 out of 10. Thoroughly enjoyed this. I'll definitely go back to it for sure, and I very much look forward to any other project she releases.
I've heard this a lot. I've heard this album like a whole bunch. Like I probably heard this thing upwards of like 20 times. Like I feel like I was pretty addicted to it, and in doing that, I've noticed a lot of the flaws. But like I don't know, it's pretty tight. Like it's I can't complain about a lot. I generally enjoy it when it is on. I do have favorites that are kind of that stick out to the track listing more and more to me each time I hear them. there are songs on this thing I do love, but I don't know if I love the thing as a whole. I just think it's really, really cool. Like, I don't know. That kind of sums up my feelings on it. I just think it's really, really cool. Like, it's catchy in some parts and, like, really funny. And it has a lot of qualities that I kind of maybe identify with on some level. Go with, like, a light 8 on this thing.
My album of choice is the self-titled 1969 record by Gal Costa, or Costa. I'm not Brazilian, so I don't know. And that's going to be a running theme because this album is...
our first foreign album.
Yeah, it's in Portuguese mostly. So this album was released in 1969. It was recorded the year before, and it was kind of one of the biggest sort of cultural representations of the Tropicália movement in Brazil, which was a kind of counterculture, politically divisive kind of thing that happened in Brazil that I'm not 100%, you know, super, super well educated on, but I do know that it did have some serious repercussions. One of the artists who worked on this album and wrote several of the tracks here, and actually there's a duet with him on this album, Caetano Veloso, was actually exiled from Brazil due to political things that he was saying at the time. There was a military dictatorship during the time of this release. And also, musically, it was also kind of unprecedented, where this album mixes Tropicália and Brazilian music styles with kind of psychedelic rock, psychedelic pop that was going on at the time. There was mixed reception at first because people were kind of shocked at what she was doing here, taking influence from artists like Janis Joplin.
Wow.
Yeah, she is definitely one of the most representative artists of that movement. This is only one of her albums. Only one that I've heard. But there's a lot more that I should get to, but I'm here to see what you all think about this.
This is an amazing album.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Okay, so first off, I want to tell everybody how I described this album to Jacob on my first listen. I went to Google and I looked up tropical wallpaper, and there's like this picture of like a bunch of like palm trees and leaves of like Amazon jungle. And I was like, this right here is how I would describe listening to this album. And Jacob was like, yes, that seems about right.
Very bright and very colorful.
Even though I don't understand a word, like except like two tracks that she's saying, sonically, you don't need to understand any lyrics. Just listening to this music is amazing. I've always kind of liked this aesthetic, I guess I'll call it, this vibe, that the sounds that are being utilized, a lot of like flutes and horns and violins and very crunchy electric guitars and
some great drumming on this thing.
Some amazing drumming. That aesthetic, I love it so much. It's like my dream movie. This would be the soundtrack to it, you know what I mean? But I will say, I think the side two is better than side one. I don't know if you would agree.
I would disagree.
Like, because side two has... okay. Get ready, folks. I'm about to butcher all these names.
Yeah. I'm going to actually try to say these names while we talk about it.
Track number 7, Vau
Recomeçar.
Yeah, Recomeçar.
Vau Recomeçar, I believe.
Yeah.
Little like, more spice in it.
Just track 7 to 8 to 9 to 10. And my favorite track 11, is like the...
Baby?
Is my, no, track 11.
Which one is that?
A Coisa Mais Linda K.
Oh, yeah.
A Coisa Mais Linda K.
My favorite track would
that's
be track
my
10.
Favorite track is track 11. It's a beautiful track.
Track 11. Baby?
No, that's track number 10, Jacob. You fake fan.
I'm sorry.
I don't want English.
But the first half is good. Like, Lost in Paradise is the only one.
Like the jazz,
like avocado.
You don't like Lost in the Paradise?
No, I do. I'm just making a joke. Like that's the only one I know.
I love the phrase "my little grasshopper airplane."
Yeah.
Yes.
But just throughout this album, just like there's so many musical moments that I absolutely adore. Que Pena is so catchy. Que Pena.
And that's the duet with Caetano Veloso.
His vocals lend a lot to the track. The vocal delivery on here is usually pretty laid back. His is laid back as well, but I don't know. There's a nice bass to his voice.
There are moments where the vocals get kind of wild, though.
There's
like where she goes, ah.
It's
I heard that and I was like, you know, JPEG Mafia should sample that.
I love it, though. I love it so much. The only part I do not like, there's one track where, like, the guitars are so loud that it's kind of scary.
Is it Se Você Pensa?
You don't want to talk...
There's very scratchy, kind of Velvet Underground-esque guitar.
Like but it's the intro to it. The intro to the song, and this guitar just comes in with, like, not feedback, but, like, It's loud.
Like completely distorted. I'm pretty sure
it's like
that's
the most, and it doesn't fit in with like the rest of the album.
I love that part.
I don't know. I think it does.
I actually have that issue.
It's kind of a statement where like she's taking all the psychedelic rock and she's throwing it into, and it still has like a really great.
It's just that moment. The song itself is good. There's not one song that I don't like. It's just that moment. It's the only moment on the entire album. It's like, whoa, didn't need that, but. I mean, I get it because she's flipping this genre of music on its side and doing something completely new with it. And it shows.
There's only one album that I can think of released before this that has a similar sound. And I'm going to butcher the name again, Os Mutantes. They released an album in 68. This was recorded in 68, so you know, I'm not sure which one came first. But after this album is released, there are a bunch of artists that start coming out, like Caetano Veloso, who was around before this. But started releasing a lot more albums after this as well. And this kind of sound just really took off. And
it's a great sound.
It's full of gems. There's so much like this. I swear, if you like this album, there is a bounty of music. Mm-hmm.
This is I know Kaliuchis has heard that this lends hugely to her style, this style of music, not just Gal Costa in general, but like, because her music's very psychedelic and, you know, the vocal delivery is like, very, it's pretty much the same. Like it, like is in regards to this album. Many, you know, probably many of the other sounds here is very laid back. And I know her whole thing is kind of to be a throwback, and that a lot of the time that would remind me of her on this album. But this album is more instrumentally, maybe not as diverse as that record, but it's. I think the production is deeper. I think it's a little more fine tuned, if you will. Like,
The production on this is rich, and I can hear every moment in each ear. Like, it's just so awesome.
It's very, very classic 60s production.
Yep.
I actually love the fact that you can hear it isn't added reverb on her vocals, but just the sound of the room that she's singing in. You can kind of hear the reverberation off the walls. It makes it sound really great if you're just like blaring it through some speakers. I found that I almost enjoyed the album more when I was just listening to it loudly through speakers rather than putting it the headphones on, because, you know, 60s records really weren't mastered for that very often,
right,
if at all. So this, you know, it was definitely mixed to sound really good through speakers, and it absolutely does.
I heard this through speakers once. I enjoyed my headphone listening experience a little more. I would listen to this at work a lot of the time, once or twice while I was at my dorm, but I liked working to it. Like, it's very easy listening, I think. I think that even the more, experimental in moments, you know what I mean? Like, on the first track now, Identificado, I think it's called. I don't know.
I think it just translates, the only song I could tell the translation, I think it means no identification.
I'm pretty sure. There's
Divino Maravilloso, which is divine marvelous.
God, we're so white. I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, that track actually is more than one of the lyrics on this album. On Genius, there's not a lot of these that have been translated, but that's the one that has. And it was dealing with the political repression and how the people in Brazil were kind of sandwiched between the right-wing dictatorship and the political left kind of having a very difficult time. I don't really, I'm not a historian. But apparently there was like a television show named after this track that was part of like the whole movement. So it's actually a pretty important cultural touchstone at the time.
That's some amazing music to go
and
with.
And the music, yeah, like there's the track just shifts and winds, and a lot of songs on this album, like the arrangements, instruments being introduced and taken away, moments where it just goes to her vocals and some drums, like on the very, on Lost in the Paradise, when it picks up 1 minute in, when the horns come in and the drumming starts, it's just fantastic.
Funny enough, like, talking about the compositions, this is a sampler's dream. There's so many moments, and actually there's one song on here where like the horns come in and like the melody there sounds so much like it was sampled by Portishead in the song Glory Box But I looked it up just to make sure, and no, they did not sample Gal Costa. But it sounds so much similar to that particular song. So I was like, oh, shoot, is this where that sample came from? But sadly, it was not. But still, like, that's a great moment on the album. But just there's so many little riffs and moments that any type of artist could sample and completely turn into something new. And the fact that, like, no one's done that with a lot of this style of music is pretty criminal. I think it's so much to be had here.
There's a lot of melodic complexity and a lot of very creative and diverse arrangements all over this thing. It makes it so, you know, repeated listens are absolutely rewarded. You hear like a little bass line that you didn't really hear before, or some fantastic drumming going on. Though I have to say my favorite track is maybe one of the most simple, and it's Baby. You know, it's just kind of love ballad, but it's this great like Baroque pop kind of song. Her vocals are just fantastic. The chorus is, that's a 10 out of 10 track. I'm just listening to that song.
Like I said, mine's
time.
Track 11. That is so catchy.
I actually like the first two tracks
song.
The most. The first two tracks are my favorite part of the album. I go back and forth on the kind of loud, noisy intro because it just feels out of place. It's not that it hurts my ears or something, but like it's like sometimes I'm like, why? You know, because I think the rest of the song is really strong.
Me too, Brian. Me too.
I love the jazzy intro into Sebastiano. Like, oh my god, that is awesome. That's my favorite point in the album. I don't know, the way the drums are in one channel and the way the other instruments are in the other channel, the way they come together and then they, boom, they just put it in stereo for you. Awesome. It's pretty euphoric, honestly.
That's one of the tracks I feel like is most influenced by, like, psychedelia. Mm. It's really weird. I love her frantic kind of vocals.
Yes, I love, like,
she's
the way
amazing on this album. Her performance is stunning.
I thought that track was, like, super jazzy. Like, the way she comes in and she's, like, very quickly, like, saying words, like, you know, not to, you know, I don't know what she's saying, so that's kind of, but, like, that's the way she speaks.
That track also has a great sometimes she just goes for
it. Wow, I'm gonna save that forever. Hold on. Baby is a great track. I agree. I love that track quite a bit. There are some, I get my issue with this album is that some tracks really pale in comparison to others. I feel like not every track on here got the care it maybe needed. And a big issue with that is I'm also having trouble attaching the sounds of tracks to certain track names. I wasn't really eyeballing tracks when I was listening to this thing. I just kind of identified the transitions. Like, I know that the fourth track is the one with the guitarist Chaz is talking about, the very distorted, like, loud, like, plucked strings. I like that part. I like that song as well. The first half is a lot stronger than the second half, in my opinion. I think it's somewhere around Valrekomikar. Oh, Jesus.
Valrekomikar.
Track 7.
Track 7 is where the album maybe falters a little bit and gets a little so-so for me, but it picks up again around Kpina.
I was about to disagree. Like, I think the second half
you don't
is
like
far better.
You don't
than
like Divino Maravilloso?
It's that usually around that point on the album, around those set of tracks, I usually like end up checking out a little bit. I'm not that enthralled by it.
That's when I really get into it.
That's like one of the best songs on the album.
Like I said, like, it's not that those tracks are bad. Like, talking about the closer, Deseo Amor. It's not like these tracks are bad. They just, for me, they pale in comparison to a lot of the tracks in there that I think are really, really good. I don't have too many issues with this album. The production's tight. The songwriting is usually, like, good. The vocals are always pleasant. Sometimes maybe a little too laid back for my taste. And it's because I didn't read into the lyrics. I'm just kind of trying to go completely sonically with it.
I did the same thing. And then just, found that
I read what lyrics were available, and I don't know Portuguese, so I couldn't get into the rest of them. Although, knowing who worked on this album, and it isn't just Gal Costa, Caetano Veloso, a few other people that were like Gilberto Gil.
Well-known around the time,
yeah. There was a lot of people that actually had a hand in making this album. They were all kind of, you know, writing music together at the time, playing on each other's albums. So it's, I think lyrically, I can assume this album to be pretty provocative for its time. It was received in that way, at least.
Mm-hmm. I would really say I feel a strong 7 on this thing. I didn't totally fall in love with it. I think it's sometimes it's a little too easy going for my taste. Sometimes the instrumentals are a little too, I'm not saying they were lazily put together, but that's what I feel like when I'm listening to them. I'm like, these feel a little too laid back, a little too drowsy for me. A lot of the time, I like the vocal performances. In fact, most of the time, they are good. Most of the time, the album's good in general. But it's just where sometimes the vocals are a little too laid back. Sometimes I think the you know, the instrumentals, they're not played poorly, but they kind of come together in a way that I'm not, I don't think is that flattering. And like, there's a kind of a duality with some of the psychedelic moments that are on here. Like the loudness at the beginning of the first track is like, you know, why is this like that? Like, I don't feel like it was a necessary addition. I think the song, I think there's a better way to introduce that song. But in Another Breath, like the guitars on track four are really great. And I think the album falters really on like only like three or four tracks, but it's enough to make me kind of say like, okay, this thing's really good, but I don't really love it. And there are tracks I could see myself coming back to, namely the first two, Baby, as well as basically the first four tracks, I think are like a super great run of tracks on here. And then from there, we just kind of get into tracks that, I don't know, they don't really do a whole lot for me. Even if I do think they're good, it's just something I don't see myself returning to that often.
I'm going to give this a strong 8. I love this album,
Chaz,
so much.
I love you. This album, I think, I disagree strongly with Brian's complaints. I kind of understand them.
This is my type of music, for sure. I love this aesthetic. I love this vibe. Sonically, this is such a... I'll have this like playing. When I own a famous hotel, I will play this in the background all the time.
I think that the arrangements and instrumentation here is pretty much uniformly fantastic. The more I listen to this album, and I've heard it upwards of 10 times at this point, maybe more than that. This album, it's growing to be one of my favorites in the style that it's in. I continually return to it. Every time I do, I find some instrumental something to latch onto that I didn't really notice before. And the last time I listened to it, which was last night, I decided, you know, I'm going to give this thing a 9. I was thinking about 8 before because there are only a couple tracks here that I'm really latching onto. But overall, every time I listen to this thing, it's just such a fun album to listen to.
I think I echo your sentiments to a lesser extent. Like, I'm only really latching on to a few tracks here, and the other ones I'm not latching on to are pretty... I really think they're so-so. Like, when I... Like, as a whole experience, yeah, it's uniform, it's good. Like, there's not a moment on here it's like, what? Like, that's terrible. It's just... Or, like, even bad or even mediocre. It's just that, like, they're just kind of so-so for me. And in probably the best way they can be. Like, this is the best average. Like...
I feel like my score would go up if I knew... If I could understand all the lyrics. Like, when I learn Portuguese someday in my time, I will go back and listen to this album and probably love it even more, which will never happen.
The woman. 1201.
The album I have picked is the 2006 release by the Flaming Lips, At War with the Mystics.
Is this 06? Wait, I thought this was way earlier.
No, this is 06. Flaming Lips, I think, is another band that really doesn't need much introduction. They've been around since, like, the 80s. They've been making music for so many decades. They've been releasing a lot of, like, compilation stuff and B-sides, but they're still making studio albums. They have one coming out this year, I believe. Like, they show no signs of stopping anytime soon. They're definitely one of my more favorite bands that I can think of. I love their vibe and sound that they experiment with since their very first record, which I've heard many times. It's definitely, like, a favorite of mine. I haven't, like, listened to any of their newer stuff, but they're just a band that I'm always, like, keeping an eye on. At War with the Mystics is a record I got into a long time ago because I heard the song, the opening track, the Yeah 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 song, which is just right now one of my favorite songs of all time. Love this track to death. So I went back and listened to the full record, and I was blown away. Like, it has all the quirky and weird alternative and psychedelic things that I love, but also, like, the mainstream and catchy melodies, and it's a perfect album in my eyes that I can always come back to. But I do have some issues with it, coming back to it, but they're very few and far between. Enough of my ramblings. What'd you guys think?
This is a very enjoyable album. I had heard it before, but it was a long time ago, and I hadn't heard it for quite some time. Coming back to it, immediately, the Yeah 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 song is a fantastic opener, and honestly, one of their best songs, I feel like. You know, I do prefer The Soft Bulletin and Yoshimi, and maybe even, like, Transmissions from a Satellite Heart.
That's another wonderful
album,
yeah.
But overall, I thought it was really enjoyable. I don't think that it was as consistent from a songwriting perspective as it could have been, but even in the songs that I'm not remembering a lot, the sound of this album, the instrumentation, is still very enjoyable. And
yeah, they
well
won a couple Grammys for this album too, like that are well deserved, I think, especially in the categories. But and also this is a different from their lyrical style. This is a more politically charged album, especially like the first couple tracks and moments in where they talk about corruption and greed and terrorism and different types of songwriting topics of that nature. So it's definitely like the black sheep of the bunch when it comes to what they normally write about, but it's very interesting to see them take on this type of topic.
Yeah, it was kind of a, you know, it was a strange turn for them to do that, considering what they have typically written about, which is just
Vaseline and
yeah, mostly nonsense, not entirely nonsense, because look at, you know, Do You Realize? So there are definitely moments where the Flaming Lips have been
serious,
a little more philosophical. Here they're definitely taking a stab at, as you said, greed and corruption and the failure of people in power to do what they should, I suppose.
Yeah.
Would be kind of the attitude that this album is
like
taking.
The Yeah, Yeah, Yeah song is a good thesis statement for what the album is generally about.
Mm. Yeah, I like this thing too. It's pretty enjoyable. I enjoy it more. I enjoy it less for the lyrical topics and more for just kind of the really upbeat instrumentation.
I would agree.
I'm more into. This was a very like sonic week for me, except for. I mean, maybe like it's funny because I probably paid more attention to lyrics on TROX because I was more familiar. I didn't really go out of my way to look at more lyrics.
I would agree.
To be honest.
Sonically, all three of our albums were pretty amazing.
That was where my attention span was this week when I was listening to these. So I probably missed a lot of lyrical themes on this thing. Like I couldn't have told you there was any sort of political.
But the Yeah 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 song really kind of says it up front. It's pretty easy to understand what it's about and what it's saying and its message.
I like a good chunk of the songs on here. My favorites being the Yeah 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 song, Bane of Stars, It Overtakes Me, Mr. Ambulance Driver, oh, Mr. Haven't Got Ambulance a Clue, Driver's and The Closer Going On. I believe I like The Wand quite a bit too.
Oh yeah. There's so many like riffs and moments and here's a hot take. The long songs of this are some of the best songs in the album. I love the 7 minutes.
What's the longest song on here? None of these really feel all that
the
long.
The 7, yeah, and that's what I love about them too. The Sound of Failure is 7 minutes and 18 seconds. Oh,
not
so,
like a favorite of mine,
so
but I mean,
good.
It's certainly
Yeah, it's
fine.
Not a favorite of mine, but it doesn't get stale or repetitive. They're kind of always throwing in different bridges and
I love
instruments.
It overtakes me. It overtakes.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
It's so good. That's 6 minutes and 50 seconds, and it feels like...
That's a really good song. Is that your least favorite, maybe?
No, I didn't love that track. I thought that I liked what it was trying to do, but I thought that it could have done it better.
I have
kind
some
of good ideas spread too thin, but the very next track, Mr. Ambulance Driver, is such a catchy song.
Yeah,
I actually really like
song.
The siren sound effect going on.
I prefer that hook, honestly. I'm not a real survivor. Like, I don't know. I just think it's really cool.
Also, well, for me, the song that always, like, was kind of a weird song for me was Free Radicals.
Mm-hmm.
I used to not really like that song, but it since has really grown on me.
Yeah, I like
I just
that
love
one.
The... Yeah, 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 like that bass when he's like, no, no, no. I love that so much. And it since has become definitely one of my favorite tracks on the album, too.
Honestly, my favorite track every time it came on was Vein of Stars. That track is so... There's a lot of really, like, nice dreamy moments on here. That's, like, my favorite one.
Like it I mentioned, it feels like you're floating on Gal Costa. Like,
yeah, that one feels pretty astral. Like, it feels like you're in space. It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. And that's just what Flaming Lips are amazing at. It's just they create this atmosphere that you're just in and your gravity, like, is...
Yeah, the instrumentals here can be really enthralling. Like, they can kind of absorb my attention sometimes from what I'm doing.
A good thing to say about the Flaming Lips, from maybe there are some examples to the contrary, but overall I would say they take all of these influences that may not be that original and they turn it into a sound that is pretty much instantly recognizable as the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's the kind of melodies that they write or Wayne Coyne's vocals or just like... They always have these weird, like, electronic breakdowns sometimes.
It's so amazing.
It's definitely, you know, a distinct sound, even though they're taking cues from, you know, psychedelic rock and weird poppy stuff that was going on in, like, the late 80s and 90s. Stuff that we've probably all heard quite a
bit. Well, they've been around since then, so really, like, they were there when it was... popular.
Right.
They've just been since adding on to it and doing
neo psychedelia bands go, a lot of them tend to be pretty derivative. I think that the Flaming Lips have a sort of unique
sound. Like, they're the go-to. I love neo-psychedelia. That's a genre I haven't been listening to in a long time.
It's always very hit and miss for me because on one hand, you have bands that try to just sound like Tame Impala. I'm not even a huge fan of Tame Impala, who are just kind of, I don't know, think that if you turn on a certain guitar pedal, it becomes psychedelic and blah, blah, blah. Flaming Lips are actually psychedelic. Like, Flaming Lips actually take that next step.
The production on this thing is fantastic. Everything is so heavy but clear. I can hear every individual thing, and I love that so much, and it just feels like my brain is filled with all this sound, but it's still distorted enough that it's, interesting and just wow.
It doesn't overdo it. This album very much has boundaries that it adheres to, and they're fine because, the songs still come out really good. You know, there's no... This thing doesn't push the envelope or anything like that, but it's just a really good album.
I would agree.
It's definitely one of, I don't know why it's my personal favorite, but I just think it's just because it's an album that I go back to all the time. And when I want to listen to some Flaming Lips, and I haven't even given Soft Bulletin or Yoshimi the listens they deserve because I'm just always going back to this one. Heck, and the album they released after this is even weirder and wackier. And it just, this is a band that I love so much for what they do. And they just, I always love to vibe with them. But this album in particular has so many moments in it and hooks and sounds that just blow me away. This is my definitive driving in the car album, too. Mm. I love when I'm traveling to put this on because it fills the car with just so many things. And what a banger the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah song is. God,
that's a fantastic song. But to me, to piggyback off of what Brian said, it's uniformly very good, but it doesn't really push the boundary all that often, with the exception of maybe the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah song. And Mr. Ambulance Driver, I do feel like they've had albums released before this that have everything that's good about this album with increased, quality of songwriting. Mm-hmm. And I would immediately point to the Soft Bulletin, which has everything that's good about this album, but does push that boundary when it comes to songwriting, even lyrical topics. That's the album to me that when I listen to it's transportative in it. Yeah. It feels otherworldly. This one to me just feels like Flaming Lips doing what they do best, and it's very good for that. I don't think it's one of their most ambitious.
I think this is their "we're just having fun" album.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because there's moments. My favorite moments of the album is when they leave in them talking after they play the song, especially after the Yeah 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 song, where you hear them like, "That was too heavy. I quit. I'm not doing that again," or they throw in those little interludes of studio talk. I love it. They're just having fun. This was not a passion project. It's we're just going to do what we do best, like Jacob said, and we're going to have fun while we do it. And I think that's why I love it so much.
Yeah, it's not conceptually.
It doesn't take itself too seriously, despite the lyrical content of the album.
It's not as, conceptual as Yoshimi, which tells a story. It's not as philosophical as the Soft Bulletin. A song like "Do You Realize"
or "That Feeling Yourself
Everyone Will One Day Will Die." It's not as grandiose as that album. And I would say that instrumentally, it's not as strong as those albums either. But for what it is, a very enjoyable listen. I'm feeling a 7 out of 10 on this thing. I was thinking maybe a 6, but going back to it and listening to it, even the songs that don't stick out with me all that much, I have to commend the compositions and the arrangements of the instrumentation here, because it's all very well thought out and just very enjoyable. All these sounds that they're playing with, it's very creative.
Yeah, pretty much like everything I'm hearing here. Don't distinctly hate anything. Don't think the album is overall great. It just has a lot of great tracks on it. Most of it's pretty catchy, strong 7. It's not really going to personally identify with it. Couldn't even tell you if I'm really going to come back to...
Would you listen to more Lips, though? I don't think this is a band you listen to.
It's not really a sound that I'm totally into. Even though they're doing some really cool spacey stuff, on Vain Stars, and some really... And, I do a lot of the funny hook. It reminds me of They Might Be Giants a little bit, with songs like Mr. Ambulance Driver. Mm-hmm. I could eventually come back to it. I don't see anytime soon. That could be just because I've heard these albums a lot this week. But
we need to show Brian...
It's very good.
Oh, what's the song with the Vaseline. What's that song?
Oh, She Don't Use Jelly.
We need to show Brian the Jelly song, so and then his mind will open up. His third eye will open up.
I would recommend the Soft Bulletin, like that
or
album.
Or at the very least, Yoshimi
is incredible. It's all of the potential of this album realized to its absolute fullest.
Chaz, you give this a 9, don't you?
Hell yes, I do. You hit it on the head. How'd you do that?
Because I heard you talk. I listened to you speak. I love you, Chaz.
I love you too, Brian.
And with that, let's talk about the albums that we are going to...
It's another themed, boys. It's sequels, part two.
Yep, we're doing more sequel albums. The artists we've heard before. I don't think we're doing any repeats, so these will be... we're not doing anything like a third time, essentially.
I'm going to do another Pain album. It's time to continue into the catalog. We're not going to do... Technically, they released 4 albums, but I consider Goggins their debut more of a demo, like, or an EP, like... Because it's not really that great compared to their other stuff. But we're doing their album released after Midgets with Guns, Wonderful Beef, released in 1997, the date of my birth, so it's a great year. So I hope the band continues with the amazing compositions and sound and just what we loved so much about them. I hope it continues on to their next release.
I am going to bring Jane Syberry back because I will not stop talking about The Walking. We're going to listen to her album that was released in 1984. It's No Borders Here. It's even more obscure and untalked about. It's a lot more new wavy, a little more of its time musically, but I think it's absolutely worth discussing, and I'm excited to get back to talking about Syberry.
We're going to do Against Me's Reinventing Axl Rose. They're basically their best album, the album that really put them on the map as a must-hear punk band. I don't have a lot to say about it. I really do love that album a whole lot. It's going to be great.
You heard it here, folks. We're going to talk about this album because Brian loves it a whole lot. This has been Unwarranted Music Opinions.
I'm Jacob Lindberg.
I'm Brian Courtney.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins. Join us next time.